Good evening, everyone. It would be a great experience to have gone up on the mount with Jesus. And why were Peter and James and John closer to Jesus? Every theological book that I have searched gave this answer. Because they wanted to be. Because they wanted to be. And I got to tell you, the more that we just go to the Lord in prayer, the more we will want to be with the Lord through life. Prayer is a type of fellowship. It's a type of communion. And unbelievers don't have this privilege. And we should be praying about everything and worrying about nothing. And we get that mixed up sometimes and flipped around. But wouldn't you just love to have been Peter, James, or John at the Mount of Transfiguration? This is where Jesus didn't have the light shine on him. He was allowing his life to shine through him. He was allowing deity to be more fully seen in just a moment. And Peter said it changed my life. It was another thing that changed Peter's life too. I like the character of Peter, don't you? Like the man Peter. He jumped in the water first and found out what was going wrong second. Most of us want to get it all planned out and figure out what we're going to do. But Peter took the leap of faith. And have we walked on water? They say walking on water is walking by faith and not by sight. Peter, what a great man, got to experience these things. And he was a man of passions. He's pretty strong about, you know, controlling passions, allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. And this type of thing, because we want to be impassioned about what we're doing, but for the right thing. Amen? Now, we do want to remember 9/11 today. We're remembering that and our nation, and it changed us. John and I were just talking a little bit outside. You know, the American resolve, I don't think you want to mess with it, really. There are enough people here who love our country, most of which love the Lord too, and are so appreciative of our freedoms. And we can take these things for granted. 9/11 reminds us that while we have liberties extended to other religious mindsets, they can at times take advantage of our freedoms and turn it on us to hurt us. So let us remember that. We've got to continue to have that balance of personal responsibilities, but gracious with people too. Well, Pastor Long, how do you handle things like immigration? I'm for it as long as it's legal. I'm for it as long as it's legal. If I were outside of our country, I'd be wanting to come to the United States. And the liberal mindset who would want to leave the United States, that's fine with me. Go ahead and go. If it's so bad, you know, just go ahead and leave. I still believe God bless America, because it was founded on the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and His Word. Father, we ask that you'd open our hearts and lives to your truth tonight as we look at something Peter experienced and what Christ is calling us to do, to have daily communion with Him. And we want to do that, Lord Jesus. Teach us, we pray, by your Spirit. In your name we ask it. Amen. Mark 3:13, and he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. You notice Jesus is the initiator, and he'll call us to himself to pray, and he does that. He will call himself to us for communion or prayer. Listen, he'll do it every day. Wait a minute. You mean the Lord calls me to communion or prayer with him every day? Yes. You'll sense it in your spirit. Your spirit will sense a leanness to it if you haven't had time with the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the Holy Spirit groaning inside of you. Let's be satisfied by feeding on Christ. Come on, I'll help you. I'll go with you. I'll be a comforting friend. Who did we learn as a comforting friend in our Sunday morning study? Whose name means a comforting friend? It's Ruth. Ruth is a comforting friend. Wow. So that's what we want to be. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit too. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to see being with Jesus in the Holy Mount. 2 Peter. You remember the context of 2 Peter, right? Peter deals with suffering. Sometimes they're suffering outside of the church. Sometimes they're suffering inside the church. Sometimes the suffering we brought on ourselves. Sometimes the suffering someone else brought on us. But looking unto Jesus, Hebrews, is the answer, no matter what the situation. When it all comes down to it, we want to keep looking to Jesus Christ. So look at 2 Peter. He got to experience this. He got to experience the transfiguration of Christ, where Christ's face shone above the brightness of the sun. Christ's face shone above the brightness of the sun. And remember, when we're teaching children, was the sun shining on Jesus' face and that's why it was so bright? Yes or no? No, the light was coming through his face, which was above the brightness of the sun. So Peter got to experience that. 2 Peter 1 and verses 16 through 18. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That's men trying to persuade us by their tales of former days. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. What happened at that transfiguration? The Father spoke from heaven. And the disciples there heard it. Peter heard it. Verse 17, for he, speaking of Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. As what? As God in human flesh. That's the honor that he was given him. And when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Anybody know what the excellent glory is? The third heaven. That's the excellent glory. Are we living in glory right now? We are living in the first glory, the first heaven. But there's sin in this heaven. And in the second one, there are spiritual forces that are contrary to God's will in those. But in the third heaven, it's totally pure. Nothing there defiles. And there's going to be a city to come down from heaven. It'll be the New Jerusalem. And nothing defiling is allowed in it. Aren't you thankful for such a place that's coming? Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. And this is what was said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him, read that out loud, in the Holy Mount. Now we don't have to go to Jerusalem and go out to Mount Sinai where the law is, or sit there where Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, although I have been there, thanks to your kindness and graciousness. Wow, I'll tell you what, this one place. If I could travel the world and somebody would say, Pastor Long, we're going to give you a trip around the world. I'll say, well, if it doesn't include Jerusalem, I don't really care to go. That's how much of an impression it had upon me. Yeah. In fact, if you can trade me, I'd rather go back to Israel. So, yeah. Because of the spiritual significance there, so wonderful. Look on our papers then, okay? We already read Mark 3:13. Jesus calls us to be alone with him on the mount. Jesus calls a believer to be with him in the Holy Mount. And of course, this would be our own holy place. It might be your living room. It might be a table by your bedroom. I don't know. Some of you might have a table and chair in your bedroom. I got one right off my bedroom, a little, maybe an 8x10 in there. And I have a chair, books everywhere, stacks of books. I got a shoe rack in there. I got a bookshelf, stacks of book. I got another bookshelf. I got one of these fake fireplaces, you know, the electric ones. Terrible. But anyway. And then in this corner over here, another bookshelf. So that's where I spend a lot of time with the Lord. Where's your holy place? Have you got one? You need to have one. The first disciples were called to the literal, physical, and earthly mountain. Believers today are called up to meet with Jesus on a spiritual mountaintop. This takes us apart from the corruption that is in the world. And by the way, the corruption that enters our own hearts too takes us away from it. We've got to be alone with God. Charles Spurgeon notes, here was sovereignty, meaning when the Lord asked those disciples to come and see his transfiguration in the Holy Mount. Impatient spirits may fret and fume because they are not called to the highest places in ministry. He's directing this first of all to pastors. I just want to let you know that. But by ministers here, he's talking to all of us because all of us are ministers. It's just a matter of where we're ministering, that's all. You got to see yourself. If you want your own transformation, you've got to look at yourself as a minister to other people. And start at your home. That's the most difficult place. And let it branch out in the church, grocery store, guy on the side of the road needing help, people who can't make the rent. I mean, just let it branch out all of your life. See yourself as a minister of Jesus Christ. But impatient spirits may fret and fume because they're not called to the highest places in ministry. But reader, learn to rejoice that Jesus calls those he desires. If he leaves me as a doorkeeper in his house, I will cheerfully bless him for his grace in allowing me to do anything in his service. Anything I'm thankful for. If we know God as we should or growing to know him, we'll be glad to do anything for God. It's a privilege. He says, if he leaves me as a doorkeeper in his house, I will cheerfully bless him for his grace and allow me to do anything in his service. The call of Christ's servants comes from above. Jesus stands on the mountain, forever above the world in holiness, zeal, love, and power. Those whom he calls must go to the mountain to him. They must seek to rise to his level by living in constant communion with him. They may not be able to achieve classic honors or attain scholastic eminence, who cares anyways, but they must, like Moses, go to the mountain of God and experience intimate communion with the unseen God if they are ever to be fit to proclaim the gospel of peace. You draw from that peace of being with the Lord. Jesus went away to hold high fellowship with the Father, and we must enter into the same divine companionship if we want to bless our fellow men. No wonder that the apostles were clothed with power when they came down fresh from the mountain where Jesus was. This morning we must endeavor to ascend the Mount of Communion so that we may be ordained to the life work for which we are set apart. Let us not see the face of man today until we have met with Jesus. One of my college professors used to say, no Bible, then no breakfast. That's just, you know, it's not in the Bible, but that was his mentality. I'm not eating breakfast until I've spent time in the Bible. Now me, I think I do it the same. Because I get coffee before I read, and I like some peanut butter cookies or something too, a little before the breakfast. First tea, you know, the English people say, you know, second tea time is the real breakfast, you know. But I like having a cup of coffee and some little peanut butter cookies or something, you know. Sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. Nothing expensive, but I got to tell you, if if I didn't spend time with the Lord in the morning, the day wouldn't be worth living sometimes. I'm being honest with you. The Lord has carried me through many waters, and He's carried you through many waters too. If you'll just commune with Him, He'll meet you there. He'll meet you there. So wonderful to have a God who fully accepts us through Christ. So we're not talking about our performance. We're talking about meeting based on the performance of Christ. So come boldly before that throne. Let's continue to read what Spurgeon says here. Let us not see the face of man today until we've met with Jesus. Time spent with Him is time well spent. He will cause the devil to flee and work wonders if we go down into the world clothed with that divine energy that only Christ can give. It is no use going to the Lord's battle until we are armed with heavenly weapons. We must see Jesus. This is essential. Did you get that? We must see Jesus. At the mercy seat, we will linger until He makes Himself known to us and until we can truly, truthfully say, we were with Him. We were with Him on the Holy Mount. So where is your holy place? Do you have a place where you spend alone with Jesus? If not, develop it. Let it start even just a few minutes. It'll grow, and you'll be glad to be there. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it goes on to say, they took knowledge of them, read this part out loud, that they had been with Jesus. And you know what, folks? If we spend time with the Lord, we won't be able to hide it. Let me say that again. If you spend time with the Lord, you won't be able to hide it. And I'm not talking about some sanctimonious, everybody look how religious I am type of waste of time. I'm talking about that joy that you had with Jesus will start manifesting it in your life, how you deal with other people. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The Lord is gracious in all His way, and He's holy in all His works. So our meditation then, over the next several days, if you can remember, Jesus calls me to a delightful daily communion with Him. And if you're feeling agitated spiritually, it's like a baby wanting milk but not getting the milk. They're agitated. And we will become agitated if we don't spend some time with God. It's true. And then the second meditation, not only does Jesus call me to a delightful daily communion with Him, second law, the love and acceptance I experience in prayer is too good not to share. The love and acceptance I feel in prayer is too good not to share. Let's look at our prayer list tonight.